from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On the show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about another Giants disappointing loss. Kevin Gausman was on the mound, and I think we saw a little bit of what he can do, and the Giants couldn't get anything going against Germán Márquez, who's honestly one of the better and most underrated pitchers in baseball. So the Giants in this game made three more errors. Errors have just been a huge part of the early season for this team, although I am going to make the case today that errors are not necessarily the best way to evaluate a defense. Obviously, they are one way, and you don't want to have a lot of errors, but there's a lot more that goes into defense than just whether or not you make errors. A little bit about me. I've contributed for Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs, which is part of Fangraphs, and I started the Covecast podcast about the Giants in 2015 and was picked up by the Locked On Podcast Network in 2019. I'm also a lifelong diehard Giants fan. So yeah, this was a Kevin Gausman start, his second start of the year, his third appearance. And man, I mean, he has thrown the ball really well and doesn't have a lot to show for it. I know the ERA is 5.93, but those peripherals remain really, really low and really, really good. And the reason for that is that he's striking a ton of people out, he's not walking anybody, and even the home run rate is very reasonable. But specifically, I mean, these strikeout to walk ratios are just off the charts for Kevin Gausman. But it just hasn't yet translated to run prevention. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think the future looks bright for Kevin Gausman. If he keeps throwing the ball like he did last night, then run prevention is going to be a thing for him moving forward. So there's a stat called strikeout minus walk rate. And it obviously just means you take the strikeout rate and you subtract the walk rate. And the higher this number, the better. Means you're getting a lot of strikeouts and not walking anybody. And Kevin Gausman ranks 17th in all of baseball in this category, surrounded by really good pitchers. There's Carlos Carrasco, Max Scherzer, Kenta Maeda, Kevin Gausman, Germán Márquez, Jack Flaherty, Chris Paddock, all kind of surrounding Gausman there. So those are some really good pitchers. This is a list you want to be on. But in terms of run prevention, it just hasn't happened yet. But I would venture to say that, I mean, if he throws the ball at Oracle Park like he did last night, I think we're talking about a totally different story. He just got, you know, beat a little bit at Coors Field, which is pretty typical, and the Giants just struggled on offense. Gausman ended up throwing 5 1/3, allowed 3 earned runs, 4 runs total, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, did allow a home run to Nolan Arenado. And yeah, the defense proved costly again in this game. In the bottom of the fourth, Tyler Heineman committed catcher's interference on a line drive by Daniel Murphy that was caught by Alex Dickerson. So the bat just kind of nicked the glove. I'm pretty sure that the result would have been the same whether or not Murphy's bat hit Heineman's glove. But there were already 2 guys on and nobody out, so it was a really big spot to commit that error, and that counts as an error. So it loaded the bases. The Rockies end up scoring just 2 runs in the inning. That's a good job by Kevin Gausman to get out of bases loaded, nobody out, with just 2 runs allowed in the inning. Another error cost Connor Menez. He quickly got 2 outs and with nobody on in the bottom of the 7th, walked Trevor Story on 4 pitches, and then committed a throwing error on a pickoff attempt. So Story advances to second base, and then on the next pitch, Charlie Blackmon singles to right to score the run to make it 5-2. So I would say maybe at least 2 runs in this game directly attributable to those defensive mistakes. And it's kind of a freak thing. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say Connor Menez making a wild pickoff throw means something about this team. They just can't. They're a bad defensive team because Connor Maness. I mean, it happens. And I don't know what you do about it. Connor Maness needs to work on his pickoff throws, I guess. And Tyler Heineman, I mean, that's a little bit of a different story. I don't know why. That's now the third time this year he's committed catcher's interference. So he needs to move back because his glove is getting into the hitting zone far too often. I don't know if he's reaching out to catch the ball, but whatever he's doing, it's not working. And honestly, I was a little surprised to see him in there and not Chadwick Tromp. I've been really impressed by the defense of Chadwick Tromp and also obviously the bat. And he's homered. I think both of his home runs have come against right-handed pitching. So maybe just a day off for Tromp, but I'd like to see a little bit more of him. Tromp is just 24 years old and is obviously making his major league debut. Heineman has just barely played in the majors as well. He had a handful of plate appearances with the Marlins last year. So these are two really inexperienced catchers, and we need to keep in mind that the plan for this team was to have Buster Posey as the regular catcher with Joey Bart coming soon. I know there are some people who think, oh, they should have re-signed Stephen Vogt, but they did attempt to re-sign him on a one-year deal, but Vogt ended up getting a two-year vesting option with the Diamondbacks and an option that he thought would vest as long as he stayed healthy. So the Giants weren't trying to give a backup catcher a two-year deal when Joey Bart was probably going to debut in 2020. So, you know, we've seen that both of these catchers are competent in some ways, but the Giants are missing Buster Posey, at least defensively. So anyway, in the second half of the show, I want to take a look at some numbers. Talk about a big play in the fifth inning for the Giants. They thought they had a three-run homer, but it was taken off the board. So we'll look at that. We'll look at some stats that I think are indicative of some interesting things with this team. And then we'll look ahead to game three of this series. But first, I want to talk about Postmates. In the middle of a pandemic, what do you do when you have an unbearable headache and you feel like you can't go out safely? Well, it was Postmates to the rescue for me. Within a matter of 15 or 20 minutes after opening the Postmates app and placing my order, somebody had delivered medicine to my front door, walked outside with my gloves, took the medicine out, wiped it off with some sanitary wipes, and 20 minutes after making the order, there I was taking the pill and my headache was gone in another half hour. And it's not just medicine that Postmates can deliver. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. In my house, we love food and that's why we love using Postmates. But I kind of love them even more right now because I can get food delivered without leaving the house or even opening the door. Postmates created non-contact delivery, so now when I order from local restaurants, everything gets left right outside my door. They also have Postmates Pickup, which you can use to order takeout from your favorite local restaurants. We need to be supporting our neighborhood spots right now. I've only been ordering local because it's a great way to support the community. Download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get everything you want delivered within an hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. All right, next I want to talk about the Giants thinking they had a three-run homer, but it being taken off the board in this game. It was very disappointing if you're a Giants fan, which all of you probably are. So I'm sure you were disappointed if you watched this game live. And now if you didn't watch the game, let me disappoint you from this play. So in the top of the fifth, Giants are losing 3-0. Brandon Crawford hits a single. Mauricio Dubon hits a single. He started at second base in this game. Day off for Donovan Solano, presumably. Okay, so then Steven Duggar comes up. He hasn't done pretty much anything in his at-bats so far this season. But against Germán Márquez, he hits a shot to the opposite field. Back it goes. Looks like it's gone. I thought it hit the seats in the first row, and then it bounced back onto the field of play. So there was some hesitation by the umpires, but then eventually they called home run. He circles the bases. Dwayne Kuiper gives his home run call after a big delay, which was funny. And we think it's 3-3. But then the Rockies challenge the play. We see the replay. It hit the top of the fence and bounced back onto the field of play. So we heard a lot of people saying they've never seen this before, but hello, it happened in the 2010 World Series. Ian Kinsler off of Matt Cain in Game 2, 2010, hit a ball off the top of the fence at Oracle Park, and that top of the fence is much narrower than the one in Colorado. This one in Colorado was like at least 6 to 8 inches wide, and the ball hit the top of the fence there, but it happened to the Rangers in the World Series, so a little bit tougher in the World Series. Kinsler did not end up scoring, by the way. So instead of it being a three-run homer, they let both runners score and put Duggar on second, but then Yastrzemski struck out and Dickerson flew out and Duggar did not score, and the Giants did not score again in this game. So I mentioned Mauricio Dubon got the start at second base. His at-bats have been looking better. He's taken some wild swings so far this season, just looks a little bit lost at the plate, just kind of flailing at pitches out of the zone, and sometimes flailing at pitches in the zone. So he looks a little bit out of whack, but honestly, given how we've seen a lot of these veteran players take their at-bats, we've seen everybody take at-bats, and I'd like to see more of him. I'd like to see him just play a lot and see what they have in him. So it's starting to feel that way with the at-bats of some of the veteran players. And specifically, I hate doing this, but Brandon Crawford's at-bats have not been very good. Takes a lot of non-competitive at-bats where he just looks overwhelmed at the plate. And the Giants are in this really interesting spot right now where they're totally in this transition phase. And someone like Crawford, you know, his playing time is contingent on him helping them win now. So if he's not helping them win now, then it doesn't really make sense for him to be getting the lion's share of plate appearances at the shortstop position, which is the only position he plays. So it's come to the point where, I mean, maybe a few more games, but I'd like to see some starts at short by Mauricio Dubon, some starts at short by Donovan Solano. I know you're gonna suffer a little bit more on defense, but Crawford made a big error in this game, and I say big, it didn't really contribute to any runs, but it was just a routine ground ball, really, and he just totally miffed it. And so let's not pretend like Brandon Crawford is still an elite defensive shortstop. There's all kinds of evidence, all the defensive metrics, and I'm not talking about errors. This is something I wanted to discuss more on today's show, but errors are not necessarily the best way to evaluate a defense. We've got defensive runs saved, we've got ultimate zone rating, we've got outs above average from StatCast. There are a number of different ways we can look at defense, and all of them show a decline by Brandon Crawford. And I think even from an errors perspective, last year he was starting to show a decline there as well. So if he's struggling on defense and struggling at the plate, and he's probably not a part of the future of this team, then at a certain point it doesn't make sense to keep giving him the at-bats. A similar case could be made for someone like Sandoval, perhaps someone like Hunter Pence, and someone like Brandon Belt. As soon as they have an interesting and worthwhile substitute at the position, if they're not performing, then it's time to start transitioning those players into those roles to see if they can take over that job. I know it's a tough pill to swallow for the veterans, but they need to step it up or else they should not be playing. So I said I wanted to talk about some numbers, and I just thought it was worth pointing out that on the season, Giants position players still rank 9th in all of baseball in FanGraphs wins above replacement. And also on the season, the Giants' offense has been 5% better than league average. So I just don't want to take that for granted. I think that for a long time, we've witnessed really subpar offense, and the outfield specifically, they were just getting zero production out of their outfield when it was like Span and a declining Hunter Pence, and who knows who else was out there in those years in like 2017 specifically. And even prior to that, they were just getting no outfield production. So if we look now at Giants outfielders, they're 5th in all of baseball in FanGraphs wins above replacement. And Mike Yastrzemski has a lot to do with that, but it doesn't matter. The outfielders have also been a combined 22% above average offensively. I mean, Alex Dickerson has been 66% above average. Mike Yastrzemski has been 104% above average. Austin Slater has been above average, and then they've gotten below average production from the rest of their outfielders. But just credit where credit is due. And by the way, I know some people were like, why is Alex Dickerson in right field again after he had those mistakes? I don't think it's the right thing to do to blame a mistake on the fact that he was in right field. It's just kind of ridiculous to me. If you're a major league outfielder, you should be able to make a catch whether you're in left or you're in right. It's a different look, definitely, being in on one corner or the other, but come on. So he was out there again last night, and he made all of his catches. He caught everything he should have caught, and oh my God, he was capable of playing right field. Who would have thought? So two more things I want to mention. Number one, Evan Longoria. I've just been really impressed by his at-bats. We talked about veterans having to earn their playing time. So far, he's definitely looked competitive at the plate. And notably, he's striking out a lot less than he has in the recent past. Not convinced it'll last, of course, because we're talking about a small sample here, but he's just had more competitive at-bats than what I've been used to seeing in the last few years. And that would be a great development if he could have a nice bounce-back season after a disappointing first couple of years in San Francisco. And his defense at third base has been really stabilizing. It's really nice when a ball is hit to him and he's able to just handle it smoothly and make nice clean throws as well. So it's been good for him to be out there. I can't really necessarily say the rest about a bunch of these other veterans on this team. So last thing I want to point out is how Madison Bumgarner's season has gone so far in Arizona. He's made three starts. ERA is 7.04. Peripherals are just as high, pretty much. They're in the sixes. So a 6.06 fielding independent pitching. This is not good. I mean, these are not good numbers at all. He allowed two home runs to the Astros last night, seven earned runs, seven hits, two walks. Just kind of a disastrous start for Madison Bumgarner. And we're seeing all the stuff that we talked about on this show that was a big risk for him moving forward. And this is a five-year deal, and in year one, it's already looking a little dicey. Fastball velocity is way down. I mean, we're talking his four-seamer is 88 miles an hour, which the lowest point last year was 90.4. His lowest average fastball velocity in a start last year was 90.4 miles an hour. And in all of his starts this year, he's averaging high 87s, low 88s. So I don't know if he's injured. I obviously hope that he's not injured, but this is an alarming decrease in velocity. And it's actually kind of across the board. If you look at the velocity on his pitches, they're all down. Every single pitch is slower in 2020 than it was in 2019. So alarming stuff from Madison Bumgarner. Hopefully he's okay physically. So just wanted to point that out to everyone who wanted to turn in their fan card when the Giants did not do whatever it took to re-sign Madison Bumgarner. And everyone who calls him an ace, I think, you know, he can recover from this, but I don't think we're talking about an ace here anymore. Can't wait for the Giants to face the Diamondbacks and hopefully get to face Madison Bumgarner. That would be a lot of fun. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember to get the show every weekday. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's game. It'll be Logan Webb on the mound for the Giants against John Gray for the Rockies. John Gray has really good stuff and is a pretty quality pitcher, but he can get hit around a bit sometimes. So that'll be something to look out for. Another right-handed pitcher should be a similar lineup. We'll note if there are any changes. If you enjoyed today's show, please hit that thumbs up button. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.